Let us now, brethren and sisters, give our undivided and earnest attention to the words of Brother Robert.
Morning, brothers and sisters. In the apostolic days of the first century, Jesus sent his newly appointed apostles into the world to preach the glad tidings of the gospel, the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taken from all walks of life, whatever their talents were. He appointed 12 apostles. He gave them a specific command. If you go to our reading that was read to us today in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. These 12, verse 5, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why only go to the house of Israel? Well, the children of Israel were their kinsmen. They were family. Surely they would receive the gospel message. After all, they were taught by the oracles of God to await the Messiah, to restore the kingdom of God, and to set them free from all their oppressors. Surely they would receive the gospel message. The apostles also were commanded not to take along with them temporal burdens. "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves." They were to go as they were, with the clothes they had on their back. As ambassadors for Christ, we too, brothers and sisters, have that especial honor and great responsibility upon our shoulders. We have a duty to uphold, to keep the purity of the truth. Read what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. All this is a balance. These are balanced weights. Just, righteous. These are the attributes that the 12 apostles had. They are different talents. They were taken from all walks of life to become those chosen apostles. This is our reasonable service, it is told. This is what is expected of brothers and sisters to behave. Not as only as examples to the rest of the world. The world that we are strangers and sojourners in. But also to our brothers and sisters in the household of faith. These are essential attributes. Go to Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 10. Go ye not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 11, into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. Salute it. It's strange that the apostles were actually given a choice as to what city or town they would enter into to preach the gospel. It was their choice. And we all have to make choices in our lives. Jesus also commanded them to inquire who in it is worthy. Surely the house of Israel would be worthy. After all, they were the kinsmen to the apostles and to Christ. Alas, brothers and sisters, we know not that that wasn't true. Grievous wolves had entered in among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and the leaven of unrighteousness was already at work. Verse 14, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the very dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. If the people of the place did not receive the apostles, it was reckoned to be a crime, entailing severe results afterwards. The apostles were commanded not to remain in the place, but flee into another, verse 23 says. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Jesus says to them, don't invite persecution. Don't fight evil within the city. Be ye wise as serpents, harmless as doves. They were called upon to be quick thinking, alert to the surroundings about them. They were to use their skillfulness to avoid all evil. Jesus also warned them to beware of men and their evil deeds. And from this we understand that men are always hostile towards things that they dislike. They're always friendly to what is in harmony with their way of life. In other words, don't rock the boat. But God's ways are not man's ways. Paul says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He also says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If you go to yesterday's reading in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23, we know of this event where Jesus said to a faithful apostle, "Thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." This was a grave error for Peter, but he considered and amended his ways. He is a faithful apostle. And thus it is clear that those who strongly uphold the pure word of gospel truth, as it is in Jesus, would even raise consternation in the closest of relationships, the family household. If you go back to chapter 10, Matthew in verse 21, "The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death." Verse 34, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." It is clearly that Christ said, "There shall not be any peace on the earth until I come." These days, brothers and sisters, are anxious times. Paul warned the disciples of the first century against the apostasy that was already at work. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, there is a consolation. Verse 22. "He shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." What a consolation. And it appeals to us, brothers and sisters, because it affects all of us. We have troubles, we have anxieties, but we're not alone. There are people far worse than we are. Christ reminds us, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." We rest back on our laurels today, enjoying the abundant pleasures that are extant in the world, being self-satisfied, being content, being wise in our own conceits. There is nothing then to endure. We have all that we have, all that we ever want. Also, we lose the title, I suppose, of being strangers and sojourners in the world. We are told to be in the world, but not of it. But if we rest back on these pleasures and being content with all the things that we have, then we become part of that world. There is no endurance. There is no need for it. But this is precisely what Paul was warning the apostles of the first century, the disciples. The apostasy does this. It seeks to undermine the one true faith and replaces it with a form of godliness that is alien to the things that are of God. Brother Robert says in Nazareth Revisited, page 191, "If Christ the perfect servant of God, was misconceived, hated, killed. It is easier for the erring servants to endure a similar experience. Suffering in good company is always felt to be easier suffering than suffering by ourselves. This is the help Christ gave to the apostles. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It is a real help. It strengthens the mind to that performance which Paul describes as enduring hardness. It fortifies us for the bitter experience of being regarded and hated as evildoers, for a course of life that is in reality dictated by the highest considerations of righteousness, truth, and benevolence. The experience